Blog Talk Radio.
Gathering. Establishing contact. All systems operational.
Welcome to the Fort Solitude Radio Network.
And welcome to this edition of the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesgo and Lisa Marie Latino after a week off because, guys, I just didn't have the energy after covering the Stanley Cup. Sorry about that. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Good, and Russ, we don't blame you in the least.
Okay, well, I appreciate that because it's a lot of fun and you end up staying out real late and being goofy and having fun. But let's talk a little baseball. Lisa, I have to say, the second biggest story in the league is Jorge Posada's back, you know, consecutive grand slams in consecutive days. You don't generally see that, especially out of a catcher. Guy's going to make the Hall of Fame anyhow, but a lot of people had written him off. And if you remember, at the beginning of the year, he took umbrage to that, and he was kind of mad about that. And now he's sort of showing people he's got a lot left in the tank.
Well, I mean, and him going on the disabled list didn't help that cause, but definitely. I mean, just before we went on air, we were talking about, Russ, how the big four for the Yankees, they're timeless. They just don't seem to get old. Just when you think that, oh, maybe they're breaking down a little bit, you know, the end is near, then Jorge Posada goes out, you know, becomes the first Yankee since Bill Dickey in 1937 to hit two grand slams in 2 days. And it just goes on and on. Jorge's amazing. The Yankees are amazing. They're tied for first place for the first time since April 21st with the Devil Rays, and all is looking good right now.
It is. And, Nico, what do you think about that?
Let me ask you this. Did he hit one left-handed and one right-handed? That would have been really something.
I didn't hear that, so I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah,
but
I don't think that
it's still pretty amazing, though. I mean, again, catchers don't generally do that with that kind of consistency, and just nobody really does it. And Bill Dickey is a huge name going back to, you know, the old great Yankee World Series team. So that's a tremendous accomplishment. And we know the next biggest story has been Steven Strasburg. And I watched his first start, but, guys, I couldn't watch his second start because Verizon didn't have the signal here in South Jersey. It was kind of aggravating. But I will say this, Nico, you know, he's got great command. He looks terrific, but I did warn people and I did tell somebody online, hey, you know what? I was at a show once in Chicago when Mark Pryor was going through his 18-win season, and everybody was telling me how Mark Pryor will be the next Tom Seaver and the next this and the next that, and I said, well, you know, you should wait and see, and Mark Pryor, I think, is about 266 wins shy of Tom Seaver to this day.
Yeah, it's tough. And I don't know if you can put Strasburg in that Mark Pryor boat just yet. I just think he's a phenom. I did get a chance to watch his first game there and just mowed down the Pittsburgh Pirates. Did you hear what happened in the second start? I didn't catch it yet.
Yeah, he pitched five innings, I believe. He did well. I want to say he had 10 strikeouts. I'll get that in a sec. But he did well. But again, they're really watching him. They're really watching his pitch count. They're watching everything because, again, they don't know because he hasn't really had that much adversity in the minors. They're worried about him on the majors. He had 5.1 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 5 walks, 8 strikeouts. So this game he had 5 walks.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about that. Just the thing, his first game he didn't have any.
Right. So that's something where you have to watch it. And I'm not necessarily saying he's going to be the next Mark Pryor, but I'm just saying all phenoms that come up, you got to give them a while to kind of set in because they're always going to look great at the beginning. And again, he's not really facing big teams right now either. I mean, this is the Cleveland Indians he beat. So we have to wait until, you know, he's got a few games under his belt and then he starts facing some other teams and they get the book on him too.
Yeah, he's got 2 wins now.
Yeah, he's got 2 wins. He's 2-0.
Okay. I got to think that he's got to put the Nationals as the favorite to win the East now. I mean,
I don't know if
really
they'll be the favorite, but they'll
be the game changer here.
They'll definitely be good. I don't know if they'll be the favorite, but they'll definitely be good. And I said that at the beginning, and now I think if that team does become a little more competitive, they may try and go out and get like a Cliff Lee or somebody like that to really cause some problems in the East. Speaking of the East, Nico, the Mets got hot. They were on a 10-3 streak. They've won 4 in a row, 8-2 in their last 10. All that said, I still think, you know, they're just going through a hot streak. They'll go through a cold streak. Their biggest problem is they're 24-10 at home. So anytime they're playing at home, they're going to win those majority of the games. But on the road, they're 11-18. And I still think that's what their kryptonite is. Now, their hope is if Carlos Beltran comes back by the All-Star break, then maybe that would be a big boost. I'm going to hold my breath because I'm not sure Carlos Beltran will be back then. And that's really the only way they get in the mix is if Carlos Beltran is back at that time. But I will say this, Mike Pelfrey's 9-1, and we all knew he had a lot of talent, and now he's finally putting it all together. So I'm happy for that.
Yeah, and John Meese also helped them out coming back. They're pitching really strong. So they've got, looks like they got a top three with Santana, Pelfrey, and Meese.
And Nice, yeah. But I will say this, Santana's getting totally snake bitten. Like it's just he's pitching terrific and the team can't score any runs. I mean he's got a 2.96 ERA and he's only 4-3. And really he's really cut down his homer totals. He's only given up 74 hits in 85 innings. So it's one of those things where he is really no run support. So hopefully that turns around for him.
Yeah, he's the number one, too, and I think we talked about it the last show with number one. He's always going against the other team's number one. So,
sure.
You know, the offense does have a hard time scoring runs for him because they're always facing good pitching. It's always a good game when he's on the mound.
True, and that's a good point. Now, I will say this, and Lisa, you can give your opinion on this as well. I heard something absolutely ridiculous on ESPN radio yesterday while I was kind of going around town. And that was, maybe we should get Steve Strasburg on the All-Star team. And I'm thinking, well, by then he's going to have like 7-8 starts. Even if he were 7 or 8-0, how could you put him on the All-Star team? I mean, I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
I think the whole, just the hoopla around him is absolutely ridiculous. Like, simmer down. Like, he hasn't really proven anything yet. Yeah, he's a phenom, and, you know, he's most likely going to be amazing and he'll have a great career, but simmer down with him. You know, if he keeps pitching the way he's been, there'll be a lot of All-Star games in his future, but you just got to chill with him.
I totally agree. Nico, what do you think? Do you think that would kind of really...
I think it's a little bit too early for the All-Star game. He probably missed that boat. I think the Nationals, if they wanted him in the All-Star game, they probably would start the season with him. I think in the National League, Humberto Jimenez from Colorado Rockies, I just believe hands down he's the Cy Young winner of the National League. He's already put it in his pocket now. Start him on the All-Star game. It's time for him to shine and really let the world see how great this little kid is.
No, I agree. I mean, Jimenez is the man. And speaking of that, I'll tell you guys about an article I wrote on Sportsology. It's still up there. And it basically covers the year of the pitcher. I wrote it on Friday. It's still on the front page. Do a little scrolling. And basically, and I'll put it up in our chat room too, but the year of the pitcher, Nico, really was 1968. And I kind of looked at 1968 compared to today. And what I really found were, and I only did the NL because the AL didn't have the DH. Back then, the NL teams were averaging 3.4 runs a game. They're now averaging 4.4. Back then, the team ERAs, forget about these 5-6 pitchers that have incredible ERAs in each league. Those are aces. There's a few more aces. There's no question. But the team ERAs back in the NL days in 68 were 2.99 for the team, and now they're 4.24. So to me, that is not the year of the pitcher. All that means is there's a few more aces in the league and a few more bad teams that they're beating up on.
And a lot better hitters.
And a lot better hitters, no question.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call it the year of the pitcher because really it's every team's got these two-star pitchers, but back in those days and in the 70s, teams had four-star pitchers.
They didn't. They had to pitch each one of them had to pitch 9 innings. I mean, there's very little relief pitching at all, and then there was no closers back in those days either. So
no, they were just starting up. Closers were just starting to come into fray. Like a Tug McGraw, we get a few saves here and there. And then I remember he had 23 saves 1 year, and that was a big deal, and fingers started coming in. Right in the 70s, that started to happen. But, Lisa, what do you think about the year of the pitcher? Do you think it's just a matter of a couple of, you know, a lot, let's say 5 or 6 big aces beating up on some bad teams, and that's why we've got these low ERAs?
Well, maybe it is a combination of that, and also, you know, the juice is kind of out of the league, and you know, you don't have those big muscle heads coming to the plate anymore. So I think it's a combination of everything, though. And also, too, Major League Baseball has to emphasis on harboring pitching talent because, like, the field was thin. So I think it's a combination of a lot of factors.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, Lisa, let me ask you, with the Tampa Bay Rays tied with the Yankees, do you think they'll be there all year, and do you worry about that?
No. I don't worry about
no.
it.
No!
I don't worry about it. I'm not worried about a thing. I mean, Tampa has been great. I think, you know, maybe the Yankees need to pull off a trade or two just to, you know, get them to that level. But no, I'm not worried. I mean, the Yankees will definitely be in the playoffs, whether it be a wild card or as a division champion. You know, they will be in there to defend their title. So.
Well, Nico, I have to tell you, that's exactly what Met fans hate about Yankee fans. Because they know their team's going to be in it every year, and they don't worry about anything, and Met fans worry about everything. So
yeah,
anytime
they get
a Met fan hears that.
Noah, you can't blame both parties, though. I mean, the Yankees,
no, I can't.
2008, you know, for the last 15 years have just been amazing, whereas you guys, I mean, you know, you're leading the division with a week to go in the season, and then you fail to make the playoffs. Like, you can't compare the two. I don't. If I was a Met fan, I'd be the same way. I'd be paranoid as everything. I mean,
yeah.
That's how I apply my dating life. You know, it's like when you meet a good guy, because you've been burned so many times. Like you can only think you're gonna get burned again. So, it's the same thing.
All right. Well, that makes sense. But we know your dating life's gonna pick up, Lisa. If nothing else, it's because of all the great work you do, and people are gonna see you, and they're gonna know. But Nico, let's talk about some of the bad teams around this league. The Baltimore Orioles have 17 wins. The Mets swept them. And I haven't checked to see if they're on pace, but they've got a .270 winning percentage. I've got to believe they may be on pace for the 62 Mets as far as the most losses in baseball history.
Well, I think over 100 losses is definitely in range there. I just don't know what they're doing. I think even when they let their manager go, Trimley, they had no clue on who's going to replace him. They just threw in Juan Samuel. I don't think he's the future there. It's just a shame to see what's happening to that team in the middle of the season. It's too early to just give up and throw in the tank. They've got some great young ball players, some great young pitching. I think they just need a solid manager to get in there and run the show. Have them give me a call.
Well, and we hear Bobby Valentine's name too. Nico, they only have 74 more losses to go to equal the Mets record. 75 would break it, so it's within reach. It's within reach, and I wonder if Met fans will want that record broken, but certainly the Orioles will battle for that. The Indians, let's talk about the Indians, Nico. Now, I know some friends in Cleveland, and they are very, very upset because Mark Shapiro, the GM, constantly talks about this team rebuilding. We got all these prospects. We're trading all our guys, but we're getting prospects, but nothing happens.
Yeah, I don't know. And they even went in and got a new manager, Maniata, this year. He's a great manager. They really concentrated on pitching this year. They had Masterson really leading that show, and he started off with a terrible year. They're throwing more strikes, and they're just getting hit more often. I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
Cliff Lee Black back.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have gotten rid of Lee and Sabathia, but, you know, that's really what's killing them right now. Now, the biggest disappointment in baseball, hands down, Seattle Mariners. We all thought, boy, this is going to be an improved team. They got Cliff Lee. They're making a move. And you know what? Now all anybody can talk about is how Cliff Lee's going to get traded.
Yeah, you know, and I actually had a chance to talk to John Bowles this weekend. He's the head assistant for the general manager there. And an insider to the organization. And he basically mentioned that Yeah, there is a disappointment there in Seattle. They're really kind of scrambling right now. They really don't have much hitting in their minor leagues at AAA or AA to call up anytime soon. So they're in a pickle. They're in a pickle where they put all their money into one basket, and that's pitching. And they figured, you know, good pitching, good defense wins ball games. But it's just the opposite here. Their hitting is just so pathetic that it can't even get their pitchers any runs whatsoever. So, like I said, they're losing ball games, giving up just one run. So.
Yeah, and they have good talent on that team, but sometimes talent isn't enough. On the road, they're 9-22. 9-22. That's pretty terrible. Nico, also the Pittsburgh Pirates. Doesn't look like this will be another year that they even get to 500. And I forget the amount of years, but I think someone told me it's like 17 years since they've even been at 500.
You know, and they've got a great team. You know, I think if they keep playing the Tigers every week, they may be okay. I don't know what it is. the Tigers don't know how to beat them. But, you know, they've got some good young talent. You look up and down that lineup. I like a lot of what Pittsburgh has. I think, again, they just need pitching. I think Zach Duke is not going to be able to do it all by himself.
No. And I'll give the Arizona Diamondbacks a little bit of a pass because I think they do have some talent and they won't be in the cellar. But you never know. They might. They might. But I won't harp on them right for the moment. Nico, let's talk about the Phillies.
If they keep throwing Willis, they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's got it.
No, I agree. Let's talk a little bit about the Phillies because, Nico, in my part of the world, right now Met fans are happy because they're not expecting to win the division. They're not even expecting to make the wild card. But as long as they're ahead of the Phillies, they're happy. And the Phillies are having big problems. I mean, they're having closed-door meetings. They can't score runs. Their pitching's not been terrific. And, you know, Roy Halladay's 8-4 with a 1.96, so he's doing everything he's supposed to do. But that team's not doing everything they're supposed to do. And they're getting ready to face the Yankees. And it's just one of these things, and they're facing them tomorrow, and it's just one of these things where, and then we can get Lisa's opinion after, I still don't think the Phillies are on the level of the Yankees or the Red Sox, and I think Tampa was a good team for them to play. Tampa was a good team. They beat Tampa, but had that been the Yankees or the Red Sox, they wouldn't have had a title. I really believe that. And, you know, they kind of proved it last year when they couldn't beat the Yankees. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you. They're just not there. What do you think, Lisa?
No, I was going to say I agree with you, too. I mean, the Phillies, they put up a fight that was definitely not an easy series by any stretch of the imagination last year. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, the Yankees definitely aren't the Tampa Bay. I mean, and look at Tampa Bay. They were all basically rookies. None of them even went to the playoffs before that year. Mm-hmm. The Yankees, you know, this is what they do. So, I mean, it's like comparing apples and oranges. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say the Phillies aren't for real. You know, they're not the Pittsburgh Pirates, but, you know,
no. Maybe
they're just not in that upper as I thought they were.
Yeah, they're just not exactly in that upper tier. They could get there with the right moves, no question. But, Nico, as an example, their pitching staff, you've got Halladay with a 1.96, then you've got Cole Hamels with a 3.74, and then the next best ERA is 4.80, Kyle Kendrick. That's a big drop-off.
Yeah, and then you've got Jamie Moyer there. He's over 4 years old trying to clean up some wins there. I mean, that's just a big, big question mark. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Phillies go after Cliff Lee and bring him back because they know what he can do, and they know he could beat the Yankees, and that's what they need. They definitely need somebody else. I think they're holding their cards close to the hands. I think they're going to make a big push to get him back here at the deadline.
No, I totally agree. And the guy that's really upsetting everybody in this part of the world is Raul Ibanez because he signed that big deal and he was terrific last year. And this year so far, 4 homers, 27 RBIs, 247.
Yeah, it makes you question last year big time because he was just unstoppable last year. I think he had about 30 home runs at this point last year. He's just something incredible where it made Ruben Amaro look like a genius. So where did he find this guy? And how this guy have so much production left in the tank? A lot of question marks that he was on the juice, and he really was adamant and upset about that. But you know, hey, the numbers talk, and they're saying something this year, especially on his performance there.
Yeah, and the only reason we're talking about the Phillies not exactly competing is simply because, and I'll just bring the fact up again, is because they have a self-imposed salary cap, and they decided they couldn't keep all the pitching they had, so they got rid of some of it, and that's fine. That's not Ruben Amaro's fault. That's the ownership's fault, and, hey, you know what? At some point, if they want to spend money like the Yankees and the Red Sox, then they may start winning again like the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's a sad thing, but that's the way baseball is, and you have to do that. So, moving on. Nico, what do you think about the AL Central? The Twins are really doing well. Tigers are right there, though.
Yeah, the Tigers are right there. I think the Twins are just going to slowly but surely run away with that. I just, you know, the Tigers are kind of up in arms with consistency with pitching. They just don't know what's going to happen with Matt Scherzer. Porcello's been up and down. Verlander's been their constant starter, but even he's had some bad outings. Their offense has taken a beating. They don't know what to do with Carlos Guillen. He's kind of off and on the DL all the time, getting hurt. Now Ordóñez is out, and Austin Jackson, their top rookie, is out now too. So they've got some big, big question marks. And I see this week being a big week for the Twins to make a run at just kind of running away from everybody this week.
Yep, and it could be that week for them. We'll see. It is still early, but, you know, talking about the West, though, interesting story in the Texas Rangers because, you know, there's a team that basically is bankrupt. They don't have money. They had to borrow money. They've got all these ownership issues, yet they're in first place. I got to give these players tremendous credit considering what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's gonna pass them. I think Oakland's making a little run for it, and they're playing good baseball. But yeah, when it comes down to it, I think Texas just has all the players. I mean, they went out and made a big gamble on getting Vladimir Guerrero. Nobody wanted him. They brought him in. He's hitting over 300. He's leading the team in home runs, RBIs. He's just having a phenomenal year. He's actually bringing Josh Hamilton back to life. He struggled a little bit, but now Josh is coming back. They've got Kinsler, the healthy second baseman. Mike Young is just doing it every year, year in and year out. He'll be another All-Star this year. They're a fun team to watch. Really great pitching as well.
No question. Now, that team is expected to get sold by mid-season. Again, it could be one of the more incredible stories because these new owners could pick up this team and have a champion on their hands for all we know.
That would be awesome. They're ready to go. I think if any team is close to popping that champagne bottle after so many years of hard work, it's the Texas Rangers.
All right, let's switch over back again to the National League. The Braves continue to impress. They're staying above the East. Troy Glaus seems to be reinventing himself. That's a guy who's had a lot of shoulder injuries, and he used to have tremendous power. And now lately, you know, he hit two yesterday. He seems to be coming back to life, and that's a big deal for the Braves, Nico, because they were struggling for hitting, and now Glaus has 13 homers.
Yeah, I think it all starts with that young Hayward guy. I mean, some of the old veterans saw this young 20-year-old putting the team on his shoulders, and they're like, hey, I got a little bit in the tank as well, too. Let me pitch in a little bit. And I think he's got that whole organization fired up, and I think even Chipper Jones is coming out of his shell. They've got Brian McCann. And they've got, like I said, Troy Glaus making a comeback here. He's having a phenomenal year. And it's great to see him hitting the ball.
No, it is. And, you know, again, not to say that I have any love for the Braves, because I don't. They're doing tremendous. They really are. Derek Lowe's leading the team with 8 wins. Hudson's got 6. Tommy Hansen's got 6. And we said, going forward, that's a formidable 3. And that's one of the better pitching staffs in the National League.
Yeah, get them in the playoffs, and they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I mean, if you get those three, and Derek Lowe is very seasoned now for the playoffs, and Hudson's been there, and Hansen throws smoke, that's going to be a pretty interesting thing. But, yeah, Jason Hayward so far, he's got 10 homers. He's got 43 RBIs. You know, if he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, I'll be shocked. Now, Strasburg could possibly win it, but he's got to win a bunch more games because Hayward's really making his mark. Let's switch over to the Central while we got a few minutes. And just talk about those, surprising to you, but not to me, the Cincinnati Reds. They're still in it. They're still leading the division by 1.5 games over the surging Cardinals.
Yeah, and I like this Leak guy. And this Mike Leak, they decided to bring him up from Arizona State, put him right in the big leagues, right in the fire. And I think he's taken the team on his shoulders, and he's led the way, and he's proven that, hey, he's ready for the big leagues. They made the right call in keeping him there and not sending him down to the minor leagues for a tune-up. And he's pacing. He's got the Reds right where he wants them, right in first place. And I think a lot of credit goes to Dusty Baker, as you said. I never saw this coming from the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, I don't know what kind of research you did, but you really hit the nail on the head when you called it. They'd be in first place. I just saw Dusty putting things together.
Yeah, I just saw Dusty putting things together. That's all. But let's talk about playing the game. Let's talk about some games that are coming up this week. To be honest, I'm looking at the schedule today, and nothing's jumping out at me in interleague play. These are, for lack of a better term, the crappier interleague games. The better ones seem to be starting on Tuesday. And I'm going to look at the Tuesday matchups. And the first one I'm going to give people, and I'll say this is a lock, I will go, yeah, I would say it's pretty good for a lock. Mets over Cleveland. You got Santana, Masterson. I'm going to have to say that Santana's going to stop being snake bitten, and he'll finally get another win.
Are they playing at home?
They are not. They are playing in Cleveland. Do you think that matters?
No, not with Santana. I'm not sure.
Okay. I don't think it matters either. Now, here's the matchup, Lisa, and I know which way you're going to go, but tell me how much you're looking forward to this game. This is the game where, you know, I imagine Philly Sports Radio today will be just buzzing about this game because they're going to basically say this is, you know, going to be the high watermark for our team, or this is where we're going to be able to tell where we are. But it's Halladay against Sabathia at Yankee Stadium tomorrow.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, the next, you know, couple weeks as a Yankee fan, I mean, I'm loving the matchups. I mean, just between Philadelphia, obviously the Mets this weekend, the Yankees have to kind of, you know, at least win 2 out of 3 to at least even the series, you know, for the year, because I know Mets fans are on their high horse about that right now. But even looking to next week, you know, Yankees going out to Arizona for the first time since 2000, that is huge. And then obviously going to see Joe Torre and the Dodgers. And again, that's the biggest bone I have about the season so far, is who made that schedule to have the Dodgers at home for that series. Like, there's no way that should have been at home in L.A.
Except I'll be there.
You'll be
there. I will be there, Lisa. I will be there on that Saturday televised game. I will be watching that game in the stands, and I will be happy that they have that game there.
Hey, throw up your game poster so we can get some TV time.
Yeah, Papa Joe, we miss you. I'll make it for you. You can
make it for me. And I'll bring it in the stadium, I promise.
What are you doing out in L.A.?
Oh, the NHL draft is out in L.A., so they have the draft and their awards. So I will be out there the entire week. So I will be catching that Yankees-Dodgers game and can't wait. Nico, well, actually, Lisa, tell everybody about your business, and then, Nico, tell everybody how to play the game.
My business is crazy right now. Like I was telling Russ before, I'm, you know, lacking on the Yankee princess, and I'm the Long Shot Productions princess. But you could check out my videos. You know, we're starting to do PR now through my company, so really exciting stuff is going on. We have some pilots in production right now as well. Longshotproductions.tv. Everything is on there.
All right, Nico, and tell people how to play the game. We got about 25 seconds.
Yeah, play the game with us. Visit us on www.mlpo.org. Click play the game. Select your daily prediction on who's going to win, earn points. We dare you to play. Also, check out our nutrition product line brought to you by AdvoCare. Just an awesome success. Daily vitamins. You feel good. You play good. And you actually make some money. So take a look at that.
Okay, and I do want to tell people to get our book, Strike 3. You can go to Amazon.com and get it. If you have an iPad, you can go to the iPad bookstore and get it off of iTunes. So that's another great way to get our book. And, guys, that's going to end this edition of the game, and we'll catch everybody next time.
Okay, thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
Okay,